Proverbs chapter 13 tonight. Begin reading verse number 1. I will not complete the chapter. Don't believe I'll complete the whole chapter. We'll start and go a little ways and see what the Lord does tonight through the teaching and preaching of the Word. I don't plan to cover the entire chapter, but we'll read the entire chapter to start with. Chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Righteous, see, being fat is biblical. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. He that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1 through 25. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege of being in your house tonight. I pray, Lord, you bless the reading of your word. Help us, Lord, as we glean from Scripture tonight. Help us, Lord, to understand what's being taught in these Scriptures. May the Word of God find a lodging place in our hearts tonight. And Lord, may we leave here saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray, God, you help us, Lord, to understand the Scripture. Lord, we can use it. We can apply it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be, wise in our living. And Father, help us to be righteous and holy in all that we say and do. Lord, that others may see Christ in us and realize it's missing in them. Have your willing way in all that's said and done tonight. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. Chapter number 13, of course, continues with the comparison between the wise and the wicked, the wise and the unwise, the fool and the wise person, those that are foolish, those that are evil. And continues that, and it starts off in verse number 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. You'll find that the wise son is mentioned 3 times in the book of Proverbs. Here in this verse, God, of course, through Solomon, tells us that such a son would heed the teachings of his father. He'll listen. He'll take that instruction. He'll apply it to his life and he'll use it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 15, and verse 20 also say that a wise son maketh a glad father. And so it's good, amen, for a son to listen to the father, to take that wisdom that is given, especially when it's godly wisdom, amen. We can draw the line there whenever it becomes stuff that's wicked and ungodly. I don't believe that the Bible teaches for a son to follow after an ungodly father. That's not the teaching of the Word of God. Some people get a little confused on that because it says that a wise son heareth his father's instruction and is dealing with the godly father and is dealing with being righteous and being holy. It's not dealing with some wicked deeds and things like that. We understand that, I'm sure. I hope we do. A man shall eat good by the fruit, verse number 2, shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. The wise use their mouth, and it will bring good consequences as long as they use it wisely. The mouth can get you in so much trouble. The tongue is set on fire from hell, the Bible says, and who can tame it? It's a wicked thing. But those that control their tongue, they find it to bring good consequences. Sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut and not say what's on your mind and have good consequences than it is to say what's on your mind and regret what you say and then have some bad consequences. So man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. The word translated as transgressors refers to those who act deceitfully. Implied is that deceitful statements may produce a violent reaction. People in the world do not take kindly to being double-crossed. They don't take too kindly to that. That breeds to violence. Say one thing and do another. The Scripture teaches us, let your nay be nay and your yea be yea. Say what you mean what you say. Amen? And that goes right along with child rearing. When you tell your child no, no means no, and they need to learn that. Amen? When you tell them no and let them go ahead and do that, then you just taught them that your no doesn't mean no, your nay is not nay, and they can do whatever they want to do, and it's not going to be any consequences for it. But when your yea is yea, the same principle, when your yea is yea, when you tell them yes, they can, and then you turn around and say no, you can't, well, then your yes is not yes. And so you're leading them to not understand and not believe what you say. So words are very important, the things that come out of our mouth. Verse number 3 is another warning. It says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that open wide his lips shall have destruction. There again, it's good to keep your mouth shut. Many times it's good just to keep your mouth shut. There's a warning against talkativeness in verse number 3, and there's also a warning against laziness in number 4, but both themes occur often all throughout the book of Proverbs. Those that talk so much and won't keep their mouth shut, that reveal everything they know, say what comes to mind and say things that they shouldn't say. The Scripture also teaches us that words are like water that's poured on the ground. You can't get it back. Once you say it, it's out there. You can't retrieve it. You can't bring it back. You can apologize for it, but the sad fact is it's already been said. We've been watching this show on TV, and I really enjoy watching it. It's a court session where this guy is very wise, dealing with court situations and things like that. And one of the things that I've learned by watching that show is it doesn't have to be permissible, it doesn't have to be agreeable by the judge. As long as the jury hears the words, they can retract and apologize and all that, but the point is getting those words out, let the jury hear it. Amen. Once they hear those words, they can't retract that, they can't take that back. They've heard it, but then the judge will say or to retract the statement or whatever. But the point is, the words are out there, the jury heard it. And I've noticed that happens a lot in the court cases. Just as long as they hear that. So you can't take back what you say, so be careful what you do say. The Bible gives us fair warning that he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. So to stay out of a lot of trouble, amen, keep your mouth shut. Amen. Now there's times whenever we're to speak up. There's times whenever we need to speak up. We're not to always be silent. The Christian is not to be one, as we've been for many years, being silent on a lot of issues, like the transgender issue. We need to speak up. Amen. The abortion, we need to speak up. You know, we don't need to be silent on situations like that. But I'm talking about whenever it's going to get you in trouble to keep flapping your gums, it's keep your mouth shut. Amen? He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that open wide his lips shall have destruction. Keep flapping him gums and you'll find yourself in a mess. Amen. Verse number 4 deals with the sluggard. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, I made a joke there a while ago that it's biblical to be fat, but that fat is talking about prosperity. It's not talking about being unhealthy and being overweight, but it's talking about the Lord blessing and giving you blessings and blessing you prosperity-wise in every everyday walk of life if we obey the Word of God. The soul of the sluggard. There's a warning against laziness there. Those that are lazy, undisciplined, irresponsible, they long for things. You ever notice those people standing out on the street corner with a little sign? First thing comes to mind when I see those folks is sluggards. Laziness. And a lot of them hold the little sign that says, we're work for food. I know from experience a few of those, I stopped and offered a job just to see what they'd say. It's been years ago, but I did. I stopped and offered one of them a job, and they didn't want a job. They just wanted money. They didn't want to work. So their sign was a lie. They didn't want to work for food. They just wanted a free handout. But the problem is, those that are sluggards, those that are lazy, undisciplined, they desire things, they long for things, but yet they don't have it because they're too lazy to work for it. It's a biblical principle to work for what you have. Amen. That's a biblical principle. I was taught that as a child. My mother was a hard worker. She's here to testify to that. My dad wasn't. My dad worked here, there, and wherever else and piddled around. And my dad lacked. There's a lot of things he lacked in life because he wouldn't work for it. He'd work a little here and spend it there, and it was gone. And so I've seen that through life, but it's a biblical principle to work for what you have. Don't be a sluggard. Don't be lazy. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. That's the Bible. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Those that work for what they have, amen, God will bless them and they'll have some things. People want things. I see a lot of teenagers, a lot of young people get married, and right off the bat, they want what mom and daddy have. Mom and daddy's been married 40, 50 years and has worked hard all their life to have what they have. And the teenagers get married, they want everything mom and daddy's got. It don't work like that. Amen. You got to work for it. Amen. When you work for it, you appreciate it a whole lot more. Trust me. Amen. The idea of being made fat is a Middle Eastern expression for prosperity. Undisciplined living leads to emptiness of life. Disciplined living leads to prosperity in every area of life. Verse number 5, the Bible says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness despise lying. One of the things that we as God's children, if we're righteous, we should despise, and which I do, is somebody tell me a lie. I despise that. I know the scripture says that every liar shall have his part in the bottomless pit. That's not talking about telling you a lie. That lie is talking about when they lie about their salvation. When they lie about their salvation, they'll find themselves in the bottomless pit of hell because they lied about it. They said they were saved when they wasn't saved to get people to leave them alone. Those liars will find themselves in the bottomless pit. Somebody just to tell you a lie, they can be saved and still tell you a lie. But righteousness despises lying. Don't lie. Speak truth. Amen. Be honest. Be honest in your speech and say things that are true. A righteous man hateth lying. The final phrase, which says the wicked man, dealing with the wicked man, is loathsome and cometh to shame. That simply means that the wicked man is, the word loathsome means nasty or stinketh. So we can render that or say that the wicked man is nasty and causes embarrassment. Those that are wicked. All right? The contrast is between righteousness abhors lying, but wickedness stinks and is embarrassing. The truth remains, of course, even to this day, between righteousness and wickedness. Wickedness stinks. Most people that are wicked and ungodly, just their actions stink, their attitudes stink, they're an embarrassment to be around. People in the grocery store sometimes, we was in Walmart yesterday, and some people there, you could tell they was wicked and ungodly people by the way they dressed, by the way they looked, by the way they smelled. It's just an embarrassment. I wouldn't want to hang out with that crowd. But I'm just saying, this is what the Bible says. Righteousness, righteous men hate lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Verse number 6, moving right along. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Righteousness protects those who are upright in the way of life. In contrast to that, godlessness overturns sinners. The thought is how that godlessness and sin make a wreckage of one's life. There's wisdom in living righteously and foolishness in living an ungodly life. I'd just soon to go with God. Amen. And have the blessings of the Lord Because God has certainly blessed. God does bless. Amen. Live right, do right. Verse number 7, the Bible says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The thought parallels with the thought with that of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. Stinginess and selfishness tends to repay themselves in like character. If you're stingy and you're selfish, then you're going to receive stinginess and selfishness back. Generosity tends to be repaid in like fashion also. So if you're generous and you're giving, then generosity will be coming back to you. Cast your bread upon the waters, and in many days it shall return. If you give, it's given. Generosity. If you're stingy, if you're selfish, and you don't give, you don't share, amen, and you don't get. We don't give to get, but when we give, we get. That makes good sense, doesn't it? Yep. That's good English right there. There's wisdom in being generous and foolishness in being stingy. Don't be stingy with your money. Amen. Don't be stingy with your time. Don't be stingy with your talents. Why did I preach a message right there? Verse number 8, the Bible says, the ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The thought is how a wealthy man may be held for ransom, his life in exchange for money. You ever seen that? I know we've seen that on television shows. People are taken, and they want money in return for that individual. Millions and billions of dollars to spare their life. If you're not wealthy, guess what you don't have to worry about? You don't have to worry about somebody stealing you away and wanting ransom money. Somebody steal me away and want ransom money, they probably get embarrassed, get their feelings hurt. You want how much? Oh, $100, we'd probably handle that. You want $1 million? Like you're going to die. That's just the Bible. It's what the Bible says. A ransom of a man's life are his riches. So the rich, the famous, are more apt to be taken into captivity and their life for money. The greater thought is that wealth is not all it's cracked up to be. Men of modest means often do not have the trouble that the wealthy do. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, concerning all of his wealth, he said, vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Having all that wealth wasn't worth all that wealth. Wasn't worth it. Verse number 9, the Bible says, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. To the wicked there shall be a final blackness of darkness forever. Jude 13. But for the righteous there shall be no night there. For the Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 22 verse 5. And the Bible says they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 10. So for the righteous, there's a whole lot of there's a whole lot better day coming. Put it that way. All right? There's a better day coming. The light of the righteous rejoices. We know that at the end of this thing, we're going to be in a place that's been prepared for us, and the Scripture says that there shall be no night there. There's no darkness. And so we rejoice in that fact. But for those that are wicked, the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. It's going to be darkness forever. For those that are unsaved, lost, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. At the root of most human conflict is this thing called pride and stubbornness. Pride stops people from asking for wisdom or asking for counsel. Stubbornness stops them from making right decisions. At the end of the thing, you'll find there's contention. There's problems. There's issues because of their pride, because of their stubbornness. The Bible has nothing good to say about pride. It is a fundamental evil of the fallen human nature. It was the root sin of Lucifer. Pride, wanting to have the throne of God. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, you can read that. The word translated it as well advised has a sense of taking over a matter or consulting together. Pride produces conflict, yet being willing to talk over a problem is why. So it do us good, amen, to understand these things and understand these words, that with the well-advised is wisdom. Doesn't hurt to ask someone what they think. Doesn't hurt to get some counseling sometimes, if it's a serious issue, to get some counseling. talked to someone just a couple of weeks ago that was having some issues in a marriage, and I offered my services to try to counsel with them, to help them. I can see already in the husband some issues that needs to be dealt with, but they refuse that, and so it's up to them. I can't force them, not going to force them, but if they decide that they want to want some help, it'd be well with their soul, amen, to get some advice and some wisdom. Nothing wrong with asking someone what they think and getting some counsel. Brother Gary Crisp and I talked actually this morning. He called me. I sent him a message and told him that I needed to talk to him. Setting up our Jubilee for next year. We set it for the 18th through the 21st. The 21st is Father's Day next year. And Brother Todd Steele had sent me a message and said, "Brother, is that going to interfere being Father's Day?" I thought, "I don't know. That's a very good question." So I sent Brother Gary a message and told him to call me when he got a chance. He called me this morning. We discussed that. I got some wisdom. I got some advice. I said, "What do you think?" Of course, he agreed with me, and he didn't think it's going to. He said, "It won't affect me any." I said, "Well, it's not going to affect me any because my family will be at church on Father's Day. And his family will be at church. And most missionaries, they don't care what day it is. If they got an opportunity to be at church, to be in a meeting, they'll be there. And most of them will have their immediate family with them anyway." But anyway, we decided, you know, that we're just going to go with 18th through the 21st and let it be what it is. It's being Father's Day, it'll be a good time for us to celebrate Father's Day with our missionaries. Maybe we'll do something extra special for the dads that day. But anyway, it's good to get some advice. Amen. The Scripture teaches us that. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Verse number 11, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." Those that get their wealth by being crooked, by being wicked, that stuff will vanish away. It will not last. On one hand, wealth obtained from questionable enterprises does not last long. But on the other hand, he who gathers his harvest with honest work will prosper. Or he who works hard will increase his substance. There's wisdom in solid work and foolishness in the get-rich-quick schemes. So as hard as I work, amen, thank the Lord those promises. Those promises for those that work hard. We shall increase in our substance. Verse number 12, very familiar verse of Scripture for some of us. "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When desire cometh, it is a tree of life." You ever had your hope set on something? You ever had your eyes focused on something, a vision, a hope, a dream? Didn't it fade away? Didn't happen? Boy, I'm telling you, that make your heart sick. That will make your heart sick. I lived through that. I know this verse to be, I know all the Bible is truth. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I know from experience, life experience, this verse is absolute truth. It does make the heart sick. I thought for a while that I was going to be a pastor of a church. I was filling in. Most of y'all know that account when all that stuff took place. I was filling in, helping with a sick pastor, took him to the doctor, did all kinds of running, did everything I could, filled in, preached for him. Knew, just felt in my heart that was going to be where God put me. That was my hope. But that hope was deferred. And boy, you're talking about being heart sick. I was. But God got me through all that. But when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. The desire came, and God put me here. Amen? And it is a tree of life. When that which has been hoped for seems to fade, it leaves the heart sick. But when that which has been hoped for comes to pass, the Bible says it is like a tree of life. Fulfilled hope especially answers to faithful and persistent prayer, like true wisdom and righteousness, is so vitalizing as to seem like God's very tree of life. It revitalizes our spirit, or revives our spirit. Makes you sick when it fades away, but boy, when it comes to pass, there's rejoicing, amen? And it revives us, stirs us up. Verse number 13, "Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." The ultimate fate of those who despise God's word is terrible. It is a place called hell. According to verse 13, they shall be destroyed. And when they're judged, they'll be judged by the very word they despised. John chapter 12, verse 48. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. John chapter 12, verse 48. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. They'll be judged by the very word they despised. Verse number 14, the Bible says, the law of wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The only wisest one that ever was is God. He is the wisest. Solomon was known as the wisest man. God is the wisest who gave Solomon his wisdom. So the law of the wise is a fountain of life. I believe that some of the commentaries I was reading had some different things to say about that law of the wise and dealing with the Mosaic law and things like that. I don't believe that's what the Scripture's talking about. I don't believe that's what Solomon meant. I don't believe that's what God meant when he gave us this verse of Scripture, the law of the wise, the law of God, who is wise. He's the person of wisdom, amen, personification of wisdom, that is God, is a fountain of life. He who wrote his law and his word, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27 says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death is to obey and heed the word of God. Hope I didn't confuse you with that. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. To depart from the gates of hell is to obey and to heed the word of God. It is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs. All right, chapter 14. Then the last verse, we'll stop with this in verse number 15. It says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Kindness and graciousness come from having a good understanding of a matter. You ever tried to talk to somebody and they just didn't listen to you? Well, I'm telling you, that drives you crazy, don't it? You're trying to discuss something with them, trying to talk with them about something, and you know they ain't paying attention. And they give you some stupid answer that don't even have nothing to do with what you're talking about. It's like, did you not hear anything I just said? And sometimes people try to answer and try to help and give advice when they're not even paying attention to start with. And the Scripture teaches us, as God's children, as righteous believers, kindness and graciousness come from having a good understanding of a matter. Make sure that you understand before you open your mouth and say something you're going to regret. Amen. Sinners often have a tough time. One thing the devil continually blinds the world to is that sin causes all manner of trouble and grief. The ungodly carelessly continue in their iniquity. But we are to get a good understanding because it giveth favor. Get a good understanding of a matter, amen, and try to help somebody. Be kind, be gracious in our dealings with them and the words that we use. The ungodly don't do that. They continue in their sin. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And they continue in that sin and it's a hard life. But God blesses those who obey His word and try to live righteously and godly in this present world. All right? Now we'll stop there. That's verse number 15. We've got about 10 more verses to go through that chapter. But we'll stop there. And for the sake of time this afternoon, I hope this is a help to you to watch what we say, to watch what we do, trying to help someone give wisdom and understanding. And it's okay to try to talk with someone about the Lord and about how to live for God, but you better be careful what you say, be careful with the words you use. Be careful through your everyday life as you go about life with the things that come out of your mouth. It's really hard to witness to someone. It's really hard to talk to them about the grace of God and the righteousness of God and all that is in the Scriptures. It's really hard to talk about that when you've told dirty jokes and you've said dirty words and things like that. Kind of hard to do that. When you lost your temper and said things that you can't take back, it's really hard to be a witness to people. So we have to watch that, be careful with that, and watch those words that come out of our mouth. Keep the mouth shut. Makes for a good life. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us tonight being in your house.